On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh Bass and Marcus Barahal guess and walk you through the NBA 2K ratings for the Brooklyn Nets. What's spot on? Where do they get it wrong? We break all that down and discuss the ending of the FIBA World Cup. Coming up next.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Football season is in full gear, but Marcus Barahal joining me as always. It's all about basketball season for me. This is the Locked On Nets podcast. I am your host, Josh Bass. Marcus, how are you doing? For me, at least, I'm a little bit jealous of all the attention the NFL is getting when we all know that the NBA is a much better league.
Yeah, I'm like getting excited for basketball season now. The weather is like starting to get slightly cooler. It was still like 80 today, but it's been like in the mornings and like late at night, there's like a slight crisp in the air, which tells me that we're getting closer to some basketball.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Every Sunday I have to deal with all these football people wearing their jerseys, which I never understood. listen to this. So I guess the Bills are playing the Giants today. I'm walking back to my apartment in Kips Bay, Murray Hill area, and across the street there's a party bus unloading of like 100 Bills fans getting off the bus that must have went to the game today, and they're all wearing jerseys.
Oh wow! I don't even know who on the Bills would you even wear their jersey for? Like there's like Josh Allen.
I think it was old ones. I think it was like LeSean McCoy. I might have seen a JP Losman or two. I don't know who else they have anymore.
Yeah, I've never been a big jersey guy, personally.
Yeah, me and you both, I think, because for me, it's like I don't need – jerseys aren't comfortable for me also. So it's like unless I'm – if I'm going to the game, maybe I'll wear something team-related, like a shirt or a hat, but I don't need to wear a jersey to like let other people know how big of a fan I am.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. I would wear like a team – t-shirt if I'm going to the game. If I'm not at the game, I'm probably not going to wear anything, except I remember when the Mets made their World Series run in 2015, I had like this one Mets t-shirt that I would wear when they had like a big game, but that was pretty much it. Nothing crazy.
Definitely very, very acceptable. Very acceptable. And we're going to see how big of a fan I am today, because we are talking Nets 2K ratings that came out a couple weeks ago, and also we'll get into some of the FIBA stuff at the very end of the podcast. But Marcus, I haven't looked at any of the Nets ratings on 2K. You and I are both big fans of the game itself. But you're going to give me a little bit of a quiz today, judging how our Brooklyn Nets, our beloved players, are rated in one of our favorite video games.
Yeah, somewhat of a quiz, somewhat of like a, there's some things that I was like a little surprised by, so I want your take on. So do you want to just jump into it?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I think pretty obviously Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, the top two rated guys. What would you guess that their ratings are? And keep in mind that for KD, they're basically rating him as if he was not injured.
As if he was not injured, okay. So I would say that, I mean, I think Kevin Durant, if he's not injured, he has to be one of the best players in the game. Probably for me, I would rate him top three. I think he's probably best player in the league if he's healthy, but I think they would probably rate him top three alongside maybe James Harden, also LeBron, even though for a full season basis, he's not what he once was. 2K doesn't really take that into account, I'd say. So I'd give KD a rating of 96.
That is spot on, Josh.
Yes,
exactly. A 96.
Let's go.
You're a true fan.
Kyrie, you know, the ratings for these games are always a little bit weird because I feel like smaller guards, where they're not helping with like rebounding or defense, their ratings suffer a little bit, even though they could have an amazing on-court impact. This is a big contradictory of what I said about Harden being in the top three. But Kyrie Irving, I'll go with 92 just because his shot making is insane. His dribbling is probably going to be all maxed out. I think he'll be a great player to use in any 2K game, and I'll give him a rating of 92.
They went 91, which is 11th in the league. Guy that they have at 92 is Damian Lillard. So they put Dame one spot ahead of Kyrie. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Damian Lillard, I love Damian Lillard, and I think it makes sense. You know, there, he might have some of these, like, more softer attributes on his side. Things like clutch rating. Obviously, Damian Lillard's had two shots in his career that have ended playoff series. So extremely clutch guy. He might have he definitely has durability on Kyrie Irving. I guess, what is he? Are they the same age, right? They're both like 28-ish, 29?
I think Dame might be like a year or two older, but yeah, around the same. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they're very similar players. I would probably rather have Damian Lillard because I think even though as a complimentary piece, I think Kyrie is better. I think just to lead a team, which is what Kyrie Irving's going to be doing this year, I think Damian Lillard is going to be better, especially as a leader. He's really embraced Portland in his career. So I think I'd probably give Dame the slight edge, which is what they did. So no complaints there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I don't know, because it's hard because we've never seen Lillard like outside of that number one option role. I guess when he was like younger playing with Aldridge,
yeah.
But I think like we've seen Kyrie succeed at the highest level, like as a number two to LeBron. So I think that I'm really excited to see him play with KD. I think that for this year coming up, I probably would rather have Lillard. Like if you just swapped Lillard and Kyrie, I think the Nets would be better this coming season. But once KD's back, if he's at full strength, I might lean towards Kyrie just because we've seen him play that role before.
Definitely. No, I think that makes a lot of sense.
And then just back to KD at 96, that's tied with Giannis and Harden, 1 point behind Kawhi and LeBron. So they have KD in that top five. Steph in sixth. With I think he slept on.
I can't believe LeBron's 97. That's insane.
Yeah, a lot of respect for LeBron. Getting back to the Nets, though. So I think that was like pretty clear that would be the one and the two for Brooklyn. Who would you guess is the third highest rated net?
Okay, I knew you were going to ask me this. This is tough. I've been thinking about this all day. So these games always favor like shooting and that kind of thing. So I think Dinwiddie could be higher than LeVert, but also Jarrett Allen could be thrown in the mix by like a weird thing, or DeAndre maybe, just going back to that legacy respect factor. This is tough. Between those four, I think after the playoff series that LeVert had, I think 2K will be riding high on him, just signed an extension. I could see them having given him a pretty solid rating for this year. So I'd say LeVert is the third highest player on the team.
It's Dinwiddie, our guy.
Yeah, okay. I'm into this. I'm into this.
Yeah, they have Dinwiddie at an 82, which I feel like is not bad. That's like pretty
good. That's good for him. That makes sense. I'm happy that he's getting a fair rating. I feel like his respect around the league has gone up. Like both him and Joe Harris, their respect has gone up exponentially over the last 18 months or so.
Yeah, definitely. And like for who are in 82, you've got Miles Turner, Junior, DeAndre Ayton, Marcus Gasol, Paul Millsaps in 82, and Steven Adams. So definitely a lot of guys. I'm just looking at the overall list. I'm also surprised. Montrezl Harrell, my guy, getting an 83. That's incredible.
I'm shocked they gave him that. I don't know. But when you look at Dinwiddie, though, I mean, he's one of the most electric scorers in the league outside of kind of guys who are top 25, 30 players. So I think it makes sense, especially for a video game. He can put up insane numbers, getting to the basket, drilling threes, especially off the dribble, deep threes. So it makes sense for me. And I think he's poised to have a huge year. He's been going at it on Twitter with some people, not necessarily going at it, but just kind of talking up how he thinks the season's going to pan out, both on his level and both on a winning level. So I think Spencer Dinwiddie is going to have a huge year. He's in shape, and you can get into shape with Peloton. Our girl, Allie Love, the in-game arena host of the Brooklyn Nets, one of the instructors there. I love Peloton. Marcus, I know you do too. And we highly recommend it for any of y'all out there looking to get in shape or just continue staying fit.
So that's kind of the top end of the Nets roster, those 1, 2, and 3 guys. One more question that I wanted to ask you. Actually, I have two more, but I'll start with this one. There's like not necessarily like questions, but maybe like a possible debate of like who the Nets starting center should be. So DeAndre Jordan and Jarrett Allen, I'll tell you, they're both rated very close to each other. Which of them do you think is rated higher?
Okay, so I think Jarrett Allen is the better player. I think you and I both agree on this. I think he will be starting this year. I think he deserves to start. I think DeAndre Jordan has a higher rating because in these games, it takes much longer to decrease someone's rating than to increase it. So a lot of these legacy guys like DeAndre Jordan, you mentioned Paul Millsap before having an 82 rating. These guys that have been all-stars in the past, if they don't show a massive, massive decline in skill set like someone like Carmelo Anthony did, they usually maintain a pretty consistent rating. They might slip off a point or two here, but if their core skill set remains intact, they usually maintain their high rating. So I would assume DeAndre has a higher rating and Jarrett Allen hasn't yet caught up to him.
Yeah, that's right. DeAndre has an 81, Jarrett Allen at a 79. And just they have like a couple of the stat breakdowns. And one of them that I was surprised by is DeAndre Jordan has a 92 for dunk, which is like not surprising. But Jarrett Allen, only a 75. I feel like they're like not far apart at all in terms of their like dunking ability.
Yeah, I feel like DeAndre Jordan's a more powerful dunker. And Jarrett Allen can miss some dunks. But yeah, overall, I think they should be a lot closer. What's Jarrett Allen's block rating?
That is not on the site that I'm on. They just have overall 3-point and dunk, which is not super helpful. But
okay.
Jarrett Allen, a 39 3-point rating. So that's something.
I mean, it sounds about right.
And then
just doesn't make them.
Yeah, it's higher than DeAndre's 25. So one last thing I wanted to ask you about. Joe Harris, we've talked about. A breakout guy. I guess this isn't really asking you. This is more just telling you because I found this interesting. Joe Harris and Caris LeVert, both the same rating of 78. Do you agree with that? It's also noteworthy because it's below both DeAndre and Jarrett Allen. I was surprised Caris was that low. What do you think?
Yeah, no, for me, so the big men are always rated higher in this game. I don't know, whatever the algorithm is they use to figure out the overall rating, it favors some of the big man statistics like rebounding, blocks, being able to score inside. I mean, obviously, of those four guys, Caris, Jarrett Allen, DeAndre, Joe Harris, any NBA game, I think it's not pretty clear, but I'd say Caris 1, Joe Harris 2, just because his skill set is less replaceable than either of the big men, and then Jarrett Allen 3 and DeAndre 4. I'm actually surprised that Joe Harris has the same rating as Caris. I would have thought he would be 3 to 4 points lower.
Yeah, I was like, I would think that like Dinwiddie and LeVert's ratings would almost flip in this. Like, I would think Dinwiddie would be around a 78 and LeVert would be around an 82. Not to say that Dinwiddie doesn't deserve his 82, but that kind of like surprised me that they gave him a rating that high.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, Dinwiddie, I think his skill set's more prone to someone that can go off in a video game type setting. But I think Caris, in terms of respect around the league, he is he's really evolved his status, though. I mean, Dinwiddie has as well. But I'm interested to know, what is Joe Harris's 3-point rating?
Joe Harris, a 94.
Wow.
Pretty good.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good. Klay Thompson is a 95. So they're basically saying he's like Klay Thompson.
Third splash, bro.
Yeah, and I actually am like scrolling through all the players right now. I don't see anyone besides Steph and Klay who have a higher 3-point rating than Joe Harris. Mm.
That's
pretty good.
Well, I mean, 3-point champion.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's shocking to me. Wait, what's D'Angelo Russell rated?
He's an 87, which puts him.
That's ridiculous.
You think that's too high?
Yes.
I think so.
He is, especially for a video game, he's so slow.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He would be like an 84 because, I mean, listen, we watched them all last season. Would you say he's 5 points better than Spencer and then 9 points better than LeVert? He's someone I think that's getting a lot of hype for making the All-Star game, being kind of the face of the Nets as they made the playoffs last year. But it's not like he was just a one-man band. I mean, this was truly a team effort. He happened to be the guy to get the most publicity because he is someone that's very well-known, a flashy player, the former number two overall pick in the draft. But, I mean, that's just a ridiculous rating and something that I think is completely out of whack, and that will probably be lowered as 2K adjusts once the season starts.
Yeah, and there's, like, a bunch of guys rated 87, actually. There's, like, 11 of them, and it's guys who I do not think are, like, on the same level. Like, on one end, you have, like, Ben Simmons, Bradley Beal, CJ McCollum, all at 87. Then you have D'Angelo Russell, but you also have, like, Pascal Siakam's an 87, and I love Pascal Siakam, but that's like, insane.
He should be, like, he should be an 83.
Right, and, yeah, they have him, they have Oladipo, I guess, is fair because they're not counting injury. Mike Conley, Luka, KP, Aldridge, and DeRozan. I just find it hard to believe that, like, Dallas and San Antonio both have two 87-plus guys. Like, I guess they do, but I don't know. Mostly Siakam is the one I was confused about.
Crazy. Crazy. Yeah, that, I mean, this just goes to show how impactful the playoffs are, which would surprise me again why LeVert's not higher than a 78, because Spicy P went off in the Eastern Conference Finals and instrumental part of the Raptors winning the chip. So, I mean, he's a guy that a lot of casual NBA fans didn't even know of coming to the playoffs, and now he's a household name. He's going to get a huge contract extension either from the Raptors this October or in free agency next year. But 87 for someone that hasn't made an all-star team and had a breakout year, but still not someone who's at a top 30, 35 player in the league, just shows to me that 2K, they need our help, Marcus. They need us to go in there.
They really do. And sorry, this is probably going to make you mad, but there's two more guys who are like ahead of LeVert that I'm stunned at, who both have an 80. Not to like pick on these guys, but it's TJ Warren and Derrick Rose. Both have an 80 and are ranked higher than Caris LeVert.
Okay. Derrick Rose thing proves the DeAndre Jordan theory that I talked about before, where it takes a while for 2K to bring these guys back down. I mean, Derrick Rose?
That's really absurd.
And TJ Warren? Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, the TJ Warren one makes no sense to me, because at least Rose, like, was at one point good. And not that TJ Warren's Rose was like, bad, but he should be, like, a 74, maybe?
Yeah, that would make more sense than an 80. Wow. Okay.
Caris LeVert, if you're listening, they're completely disrespecting you.
We agree with your disrespect, and if you want to come on the podcast and talk about it, we will have you.
Please, come on.
Absolutely. Marcus, rapid fire through these last few. I'm interested to hear where guys like Torian Prince fall, our boy David Nwaba, some of these other folks that we have on the team.
Yeah, so Torian Prince is a 77, so he's like right below Caris and Joe Harris in these ratings. And then you get down to like Kurucs and Wilson Chandler, both 75. Garrett Temple, David Nwaba, both 73. Then Nick Claxton, 72, the rookie. They gave him a 67 for three-point shooting, which I was a little bit surprised at. But, you know, I'll take that. Then you get down to like Jonathan Musa, Theo Pinson, Henry Ellenson, Dang Adel. Those guys are all 71, 69, 69, 67. So it's mostly those like top eight or nine or so guys who are going to be in the rotation. And for the Nets, those are all like 75 plus guys, which is a good sign, obviously.
Yeah, that's huge. The thing, the biggest shock of those, one, I don't think Torian Prince should only be one below Caris LeVert. I think he's definitely there's definitely a separation there. And then how is Wilson Chandler a 75?
Maybe they rated him with the PEDs.
Yeah. they find out the suspension, it's like assuming that he's gonna be back with post PEDs after 25 games and he's like a 66.
Right.
I mean, that's just insane. I mean, he was terrible last year.
He's not great, but I think he should be probably like a 72. If Garrett Temple's a 73, I don't know.
I think Garrett Temple's a lot better than Wilson Chandler.
I think he's better.
Wilson Chandler for me. He is washed.
Yeah, I think that's like partially the reputation thing that you talked about, and then it's also like kind of hard to get below a certain point. I feel like if you're like an established player in this game, like they're not going to put anyone who's like ever been like pretty good below like a 70. So,
that makes sense. Who's the lowest rated player? Not on the Nets, in the league.
Oh, in the league? That's a good question. I only had the top 100 pulled up.
So it could be Dangadel.
On the Nets, it's Dangadel, yeah.
Okay.
Henry Ellenson and Theo Pinson, both 69s above of that. So.
Yeah. Dangadel was a good player at Louisville. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, welcome, Dang. yeah, I don't know. These rankings are bad.
Yeah. Also, rookie Ja Morant is a 79 ahead of Karis.
What's Zion?
Ooh, great question. Let me find him.
80.
I feel like Zion's going to be, I'm going to guess like 84. I haven't seen Zion yet. He is an 81.
Ooh,
that's surprising. Okay. I thought he'd be higher.
I would, yeah. I think he deserves to be higher. I mean, he's coming in as a transcendent rookie. Like, John Morant, I think, is going to be a great prospect. I think he's going to be a very good player. 79th year for him. Zion is transcendent.
Yeah, that surprises me, actually. So they have him, like, the same as DeAndre Jordan. Wow.
Yeah, that's not great. I mean, Jordan, he's secure in the bag with this new Nets contract. He's hanging around. But, listen, 2K... That's what it is for now. You know, they always fine tune these rankings. That's the best thing about it. And this is just for a video game. It's not for real life. But based on the KD being able to be healthy in the video game in virtual life, I would assume the Nets are probably a top five team, Marcus, overall in the game.
I would have to think they're pretty high. I mean, the Bucks are probably up there. The Lakers and Clippers are probably both up there. Any team like with LeBron is going to have a big boost. I'm pulling up the team ratings right now. The Nets are sixth.
Okay. Who are the top, or should I try to name the top five?
Sure. I'm surprised by this.
Okay. Yeah. Clippers?
Yes, the Clippers are one.
Sixers?
Sixers are below the Nets in this.
What?
Yeah.
How?
I mean, I guess this is, this is considering, like, with Durant healthy, I guess, so. That's not crazy, I guess.
Top five.
Oh boy, this list is insane. Okay. Actually, the Nets are the highest. I'll say this: the Nets are the highest ranked Eastern Conference team.
Really? Okay. So Clippers, yeah. Rockets.
No.
Okay. I need to rethink of it. Clippers, Warriors.
Warriors are fifth.
Lakers.
Yep, they're second.
Okay. Let me. this is interesting. So there's no. There's no Raptors, obviously.
No.
There's no Bucks. There's no Celtics.
The Bucks are 12th.
The Bucks are 12th?
And the Rockets are 11th.
Okay, this is bad.
This Blazers, makes no sense.
Blazers and Jazz?
The Jazz are 3rd. The Blazers are 8th.
Okay. Nuggets?
Yes, that's the last team. So they have the Clippers, Lakers, Jazz, Nuggets, Warriors, and then the Nets as the top six teams.
Okay, this is terrible.
Yeah, this makes no sense at all.
Enough of the 2K. let's get into FIBA play and talk about some of the findings we saw there. The USA, unfortunately, after getting bounced from the tournament by France in the quarterfinals, had an embarrassing loss to Serbia, and then... we're able to salvage at least something by beating Poland and coming in seventh in the tournament. The finals were today as we're recording this, and Spain destroyed Argentina, won by 20, behind a really nice performance from Ricky Rubio. Marcus, were you interested in the World Cup post-USA departure? Were you interested in it before that? Just give me a gauge here on what you're feeling.
I was kind of mildly interested throughout. I think that... for you and I specifically, like, we have two of our best friends. One of them is from Argentina, the other one's from Australia. So, like, watching those two teams reach the semifinals, and, like, it was possible that they would end up facing each other. That didn't end up happening. But I was invested in it from that perspective. And then also, just, like, the random guys who were, like, in these games and in this tournament as a whole. Like, Luis Scola all of a sudden, like, babying Rudy Gobert. Marc Gasol and his quest for the two championships in 1 year with the NBA title, and then now the gold medal, and then for France with Rudy Gobert's ascension and Frank Ntilikina. You know, he was playing out there. He was making some plays.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen to Frankie Smokes, I think? Because that's one of the more interesting takeaways where a guy actually, like, listen, some of the guys that played really well, like, we know Tomas Satoransky can play. That's why he got the big contract from the Bulls. Like, Bainsey stepping out and hitting a bunch of threes, I think that's great. Guys like Patty Mills and Bogdan Bogdanovic going off to their teams, like, this is where they are able to be stars for their country. But Frank Ntilikina coming in on a team in France that has a lot of veterans. They have Gobert. They have Nando DiColo. They have really a Batum, Fournier, a bunch of guys on the wing, and Frank being able to play a role, hit a bunch of threes for them. Do you think that's going to trickle into his NBA play? Like, what does this mean? Is there anything we can take away from this?
I think that the defense is definitely what's more sustainable. I think that, like, his outside shooting, because he did hit, like, way more threes than I think anyone expected, but the line's closer, right? So, like, that's not a huge thing, but I think if that can, like, give him some sort of confidence. I mean, he was very hyped up after France beat the USA, and for good reason, because he hits, like, some big clutch shots down the stretch and obviously locked up some of the USA ball handlers. So I think that defensively, that's what he can take away, is that he was able to, like, hold his own against those guys. I think that the shot making is probably not going to translate, but I don't know. That's just me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. I mean, I think it's a good indication nonetheless. Like, he went out
there. Yeah, I mean, the fact that he was, like, able to play, like, at all and, like, exactly. Be in those clutch moments against, like, real NBA players. Exactly. I think that's, like, the most important thing.
He was someone that basically got, like, I mean, Fizdale didn't play him at all last year, for the most part. And he's someone that, after getting drafted by Phil Jackson, you have a whole new regime in with the Knicks right now. Everyone has been shocked he hasn't gotten traded so far. He probably will at some point this season. And for him, it's a great opportunity to rebuild his value. And I'm surprised some of these guys, for the USA, I get why these guys don't play. I get why, even though Bill Simmons is freaking out about Booker not playing, I get it. But because there's no real upside. If you win the tournament, that's what you're supposed to do. Because even if the top 20 players don't come for the US, they still have more talent than any other team. But if they lose, it's embarrassing, like what happened in this tournament. But for some of these guys on Canada, Serbia, Croatia, Spain, France, I mean, this is the opportunity for them to cement themselves in the history for their specific countries. So I'm always surprised when these guys drop out, especially when it's like Andrew Wiggins not playing for Canada, Jamal Murray not playing for Canada as well. I think these guys should always play, and definitely give a lot of kudos to a guy like Frankie Smokes, who could have just continued being down and said, listen, the NBA hasn't worked out for him so far in these 2 years. He could have just stayed and tried to work on his game. And by working on his game, I mean just shooting a bunch of threes in the gym. But he actually went out and played real basketball, wanted to play for his country, and I think it turned out great for him. So that's really one of the key examples of it working out for a guy who wants to rebuild their value and being able to put up a very solid semifinal performance while doing it.
Yeah, I think it's, like you said, it's most important for those young guys. And I agree about, like, the Canada team, I think, had, like, the U.S. obviously had more dropouts, but it was guys who, I think, for the most part, were expected. Canada, I feel like, they could have had, like, a really good team, but they, like, Jamal Murray, famous Canadian, just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander also. I mean, yeah. They could have built a really good team. And it was said it was Ken Birch, who's good. But, you know, he's not going to be able to carry by himself. He's a defensive-minded big man. He needs scorers around him.
Yeah, Birch Box.
Exactly. I forgot about Bird Box. That was a good movie. I missed when it was taking over the internet.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. That was everywhere. That was this year, right?
Yeah, that was like...
It feels so long
ago. That must have been January or February.
That's right. Definitely in the winter.
Yeah, it just goes to show the kind of the craze that the internet can have, and then no one cares after.
Yeah, everything fades, and hopefully these memories of the USA loss will fade as well.
Exactly, until the next Olympics, actually, and hopefully the USA comes out with a better team and a better showing. But we'll always try to put our best foot forward. Until next time, you can find us wherever you subscribe to your podcasts, whether that be on Himalayas, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, you name it. Please subscribe, rate, and review us. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at @JMBass_Marcus is at Marcus Barahal. The podcast is at Locked On Nets. And until next time, be well.
Bye.